Hi, Sierra Kato here. Yay! Thank you so much for coming back to the second episode of Stay Positive. We made it. It's a Tuesday again, which is when I'm apparently going to be releasing these. So get excited every Tuesday. I actually wanted to release it earlier this morning, but I had a deadline last night. I had to submit some writing stuff, and I really did everything but that. You know, as you do when you have a deadline, I'm like, oh, maybe I'll try to drink milk, real cow milk for the first time in months and see what that does to my body, you know, or maybe I'll pick up yoga because I bought a mat for that. So clearly that means I gotta do it right now. And all those fun things that you do to procrastinate. And so then, yes, I didn't edit it until today, the podcast. And then now I'm slowly rolling it out. But hey, I am promising myself to take it easy. Because we're like a month into 2019, and I literally realized I made a resolution that was like, Sarah, you need to be easier on yourself. And then because I had moments where I wasn't being easier on myself, or because I wasn't chilling out, I was like being hard on myself for not being easy on myself. It was a mess. So we're all gonna have fun here. Don't be too hard on yourselves, guys. If you haven't already, please leave a review on iTunes, perhaps. That would be really nice. Maybe 5 stars? I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there. It just helps the podcast. I'm trying to make this a regular thing, and the more people we can have listening, that would be great. Also, I just happy to have you here. Hopefully, to kick off your great day, I wanted to introduce you to the guest, a second guest ever on Stay Positive. He's really awesome. His name is Rafinha Bastos. He is a Brazilian comic who is probably the foremost comic to come out of Brazil. He has a special on Netflix. It's called Ultimatum. Check it out if you speak Portuguese, but also if you don't, I watched it with subtitles and I thought it was really funny. And he himself has just transplanted himself to Los Angeles to start over. I mean, he was killing it in Brazil. Like, he has comedy clubs, he would do stadium shows, he had a late night talk show, all the things that you do as a comedian. But he decided to be like, all right, time to start over and in a new language in English in Los Angeles. So that's how I met him. Anyway, have fun. Enjoy this episode. See ya. Hey, hi, Rafina. How are
Hey,
you?
hi, perfect.
Thanks for doing this.
No
I know you're a
problem.
busy man, so I
I wasn't
appreciate
today. I wasn't today,
it.
so that's all good.
Saturday.
It's not that I'm
Oh,
losing
casual.
like a job or something
Got it, got
or
it.
dating, so it's okay.
I see. Yeah,
Yeah,
no, I
it's okay.
mean, I never have a busy day these days, it seems.
That's me. That's me.
So that's why I'm doing this. But yeah, cool. I guess the last time I saw you was the first time I met you,
I
which
was
we got
late,
lunch.
and
This is
today
true.
I wasn't.
You weren't late at
I'm
all.
so
Yeah, I was
proud.
prepared to wait the full hour. Like, last time. I'm just kidding. But it was good. I'm glad I waited last time, you know,
Nice,
because it was
nice.
a casual, it was like a Sunday, Saturday or
Yeah,
something where
we went
like,
to get a
what was I
burger.
gonna do? Not wait?
Yeah, not wait,
Yeah.
like just go away.
Yeah, I got a burger, I was eating it, and then, you know, you came and it was
Like,
great and
yeah.
we had a good conversation.
But I would, that's okay. It was a pleasure for me to be here and talk to you.
Good. Well,
Yeah.
thanks.
It's always it's always good to practice my English, so.
Oh yeah, I
Yeah.
know. I'm so impressed because I can't speak any other
You
language besides
can't?
English. Nope,
Any other one?
sorry.
Not even
Yeah.
Spanish.
Well, I did study Spanish in high school, but I'm not at
You
all.
know that
I forgot.
Sierra, it's a
Yeah.
Spanish word.
Right.
It isn't?
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah. It means saw, I think. Like, that's why they call
Sierra
the
means
mountains.
saw and it means saw and the mountain and a mountain. Sierra, it's like a
That's
chain
awesome.
of mountains.
Right. Like
Yeah.
the jagged side of the
And
saw.
Cato means murderer.
No.
Yeah.
Oh,
And I was just kidding. I don't know.
okay.
I don't
Well,
know.
mountain murder.
Yeah.
But I mean, yeah, I guess thank you for pronouncing my last name correctly. That
Don't
was
worry. It's
exciting.
Cato, right?
Yeah.
Nice.
Everybody says Catao because there's a W, so it's
No,
fine.
that's
I
not
don't take it
Cato. That's
personally.
not Cato.
But yeah, I mean, do you want to introduce yourself?
Yeah, my name is Rafinha Bastos. I am from Brazil. I'm a comedian in Brazil. I have been doing comedy there for like the last 20 years, like
Wow.
17 years. And I'm now coming to America. I did a lot of things in Brazil. I used to host a talk show.
Yeah.
I used to have a nightly show on TV. I did a lot of things over there. I did
Megastar.
journalism a lot, and I used to do a lot of different stuff. Did like 3 comedy specials. My last one was for Netflix, and
That's
but now I
amazing.
came here to try to conquer the world.
Yeah.
That's how.
Coming to the LA
Yeah.
LA capital of comedy.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, that's what I think. It's like to if you succeed here in America, you
Oh.
go global. That was the plan. And which is
Yeah.
exciting for me because I have been working a lot of, for I have been working, and I think I did conquer everything that I wanted in Brazil.
Yeah,
it's not that everything that I did was a success. And it's not what I'm saying.
Okay.
But I did everything that I wanted. I did like movies and series, and I host a series, and I direct a series. So to come here and start from the beginning, it's a challenge, but it's always exciting as well.
Yeah, that's hilarious because, like, I think people or comics in the U.S. will move to just a new city and be like, oh, I got to start over because they're so, you know, we're so dramatic. But honestly, it just means like, oh, I was past it like one club and now I got to like go to another city and like try to get past another. But it's like you're going to a new country, new language, like completely different fan base. And you had like and you still have such an empire of like comedy in Brazil.
I do. I still have, but I had to make this choice to actually come here and stay.
Got it.
Instead of just going back and forth, to come here, stay, and which is hard sometimes, you know, because I'm not saying that it's that hard because I already have something in Brazil, so it's not like I'm having money issues or anything like that, which already is already something amazing, which is like I have my thing there. Yeah,
focus fully on comedy here.
Of course, which is something that is a dream for everybody. But to be successful in another country and come here and start from the bottom is something that is very humbling, but at the same time makes you tired sometimes. It's like, oh, do I have to go there and hang out?
Sure, there's a lot of like meet the right people, hang out, and like show your face culture.
people knows you. Oh, I saw you there. Let me invite you to do this show. And so you're always here on the club. Come here and do a set on Monday. And it's like, it's a little too much. But at the same time, that's the game, you know? It's not because I have something in another country that the market will be open here.
Right.
Of course, like social media numbers and everything helps, but it is not enough sometimes.
And then how was it coming up in Brazil versus here, I guess?
Yeah, there was there's a difference between coming up here in Brazil because when I started doing stand-up in Brazil, there wasn't a stand-up scene.
Okay.
There was not like people doing stand-up. People didn't know what stand-up was because the only reference that we have of stand-up was those beginnings and endings of Seinfeld episodes.
Okay, you're like, I think there's a brick wall involved and like
Funny guy. That was the reference that we had. Suits and the brick wall. That was like very traditional.
Cool.
But that was the only reference that we had. I remember the first time I saw that this guy was like making jokes, and he was actually Jerry Seinfeld, his name. It's not that he was like playing a character.
Right.
Because this is the type of comedy they used to have in Brazil. So I saw this guy doing comedy and talking about the things that he saw and the perspective of the world that he has. So he was like amazing to see that because we had in Brazil the characters, the impersonators, the guys wearing wigs and makeups. That's what we had.
Completely different.
So we started this whole stand-up scene in Brazil. I was one of the pioneers to do it. So at the same time, it's difficult because nobody knows what you're doing. But at the same time, it's something new that, if this is a success, I'll be in front of this movement.
Totally.
When I came here to America, comedy is a business that is completely established. Not only established, it's living a very, very hot moment right now because of the podcast, because of everything.
Netflix. Yeah.
People are going to comedy clubs to watch comedy now. So to come here and try to conquer this thing, like to try to be part of this movement, it's difficult. But at the same time, it's humbling. It's amazing. It's exciting.
Yeah.
It's exciting because it's a new beginning. And every time that I go and to do a show and I have like other four or five comedians and I see them, it's inspiring as well because I see that they're good. They're all good. For you to have a spot in a big club here, you have to at least be a good comedian. So it's always good to go out and work here because it's always like you get good references and you can see people doing different stuff. It's like a learning process for me.
Cool. Yeah, like surrounded by people who are also good, so you can kind of like pick up on that osmosis.
No, sometimes I'm watching I'm watching and I see something completely different. I was like, fuck, that's so good to be here and see that. Some of the people that writes well, people that really, really, really have good jokes. So it's awesome. It's always a surprise. Sometimes I'm just like in a club and I see this person that I never seen before. Mm-hmm. And it's always like a surprise, but a good surprise.
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, did you have something specifically in Brazil that made you want to make that leap to come out here happen, or anything like change of mindset, or was it just something you always knew you wanted to do?
I always knew since I actually I got a scholarship here in 1999 to play basketball. Okay. I had a scholarship. And I
makes sense. Very tall.
Oh yeah, very
I
tall.
I used to play basketball. I didn't have much you, future in it, unfortunately.
That's okay.
Too small.
That's okay. No problem. You could yeah. be. You're fast.
I mean,
you're
yeah,
fast.
Yeah, I guess so. Hopefully. Okay.
And I played in Nebraska. They gave me a scholarship to play basketball there.
Wow. Uh-huh.
So it was always a dream for me to try to succeed here somehow.
Cool.
Because I got injured playing basketball, and I had to go back to Brazil. So it was like frustrating.
Sure.
But I always knew that something would happen that would bring me here.
Oh, wow.
And comedy was my way to come here. So, but what happened was, what I felt in Brazil is that I did everything that I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. I didn't feel that was like something left that I really, really was excited mm-hmm. about having. So, after you reach a certain type of level of celebrity in your country, which is completely different,
sure,
it's like you reach this level, you can like, you call Fox, you call Warner, and you have a meeting with them. That's how it works.
Okay, yeah.
It's like if Chris Rock here wanted to do like a series on and everywhere,
he gets them on the phone.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah,
and he
awesome.
Sit down with them and they have this meeting and they wanted to do something with him because he's popular. That right. was what I was living over there. So it was like...
You needed that new... You like slayed all your dragons. You
yes.
wanted a new challenge.
Yeah.
That's a good problem to have.
Yeah, that's what I was looking for, to have a new life. And Brazil, it's also... it has been a little dangerous to live in Brazil. A lot of violence, robberies, and so I was like, okay, let me try to see how this is going to work. So my plan is to bring my family here in the future. I'm trying to convince my ex-wife to come with my kid. So so that's the mission right now.
Right, yeah. That's exciting.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. I have to convince her.
Sure.
It's not that easy to convince an
ex-woman. Yeah.
Oh, you want to live with me?
Transplant your life. Yeah,
yes.
It's a big ask.
Yeah.
But, if you're living at large here, I mean, it could be very enticing. Get a nice house.
That's what I wanted to
do. Did you do that? Yeah.
That's what I wanted to do,
yeah.
But it's expensive as well. If you do this exchange of like the money, $1 here is four of my money.
Okay.
So it's like I'm spending like four times more than other people are spending because the money that I get is four times less. So it's expensive as well to live here. So it's a bet.
Yeah.
It's a bet. Let's see how this is going to work. And I'm excited. I want to have this plan for a long time. Now I already have an agent, a manager,
nice.
I have all that crew working with me. So let's see how this is going to work.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, just a matter of time, I think.
When
did you move here, or when did you first kind of start?
March this year.
Okay, wow. So very recent.
Just arrived.
Cool.
Yeah, just arrived.
Amazing. Literally, I did a bar show the other night that was like sports was happening on like eight televisions.
And it was like with volume?
Oh, yeah. I mean... Oh, actually, you know what? It was like there was music, so maybe it wasn't volume from the TV, but everybody was watching the game, and then we were all like, what is happening here? It was a disaster for all of us, but it was fine. You know, you got to do it. It's like
That's what I was like, do you?
I mean, part of me, like, I felt bad because the two comedians who were running the show
they
felt
were
really
nice.
Bad, and I was like, oh, you know, don't apologize to us. It's like, hey, it's not your fault. It was definitely like the bartender didn't understand, or not the bartender, but the bar owner didn't understand like how to do a comedy show, and he actually had like a back room, which would have been perfect if we'd all just climbed into there and like shut the door, and it would have been like, okay, if you want to watch a show, be in here. If you want to watch the game, be out there.
Yeah.
But then I think the owner thought like, oh, I want everyone to see that there's a show happening. even if they're not interested. Oh, he just didn't understand God. How comedy works.
So you guys are like...
We were competing with like 8 televisions.
And, and the televisions were a problem for you. And you guys were like a problem for the people trying to watch the TV.
Oh, yeah. Nobody was happy. I was like yelling at people. It was a lot. I mean, not in a mean way, but I think I was really trying to like... If anybody was slightly looking over, I'd like call them out and be like, all right, pay attention. And it was fun. But, you know, it is... Well, the reason I say you got to do it only is because for me personally, I think it's like... I need those times just to like really test myself to see if I really want to do this. Because if it's all great shows, like, then I don't know if I would get better. Only because I would just like be like, oh, my material is great. I'm doing great. Okay, I'm fine. But if those things happen, then I can like kind of be like, okay, how could I be better at crowd work or in the moment of like getting attention? Or in that particular room, I felt like really short jokes were the key because nobody was even gonna like listen for longer than 20 seconds. So if you like grabbed him within the 20 seconds,
wow,
like it was
I know,
not a
I did a lot of those shows as well. But that's why I think it's hard for me sometimes, because I don't know, it's difficult to know if you like, you write a new jokes, okay, you write like 2 minutes on your jokes. Let's suppose that you went there to test 2 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
If the show is shitty...
No, yeah, I wouldn't judge
those
that.
Those are the ones that is not going to work.
Right.
So it became frustrating for you because you're all excited about testing those.
Sure, yeah.
And they didn't work. So you're like, this was for nothing. I came here. It was difficult for me. Yeah. It was not even my good jokes worked. And I was trying to yell at them, but at the same time trying...
trying to test out this. Oh. Yeah, what a disaster, you know. But I mean, also, like, I'm still doing shows like that. It's fine. But I feel like, yeah, if I were you,
no,
and
I
you're
think
like,
it's
you've
fine.
Gone through so
no,
much,
not only
it
because
make sense for you to do anything like that.
It's not only because... the thing that frustrated me is not that people are not laughing or it's like a hard place to do comedy. Mm-hmm. It's that I... Even the jokes that I'm doing for some time, they still new because I'm doing since March in English.
Right.
So it's like, okay, let's suppose that you have this 10 minute spot, okay? Mm-hmm. And you have like 2 minutes to test those jokes. You put them in the middle. For me, even the rest, those 8 minutes of jokes, they still a little new for
me.
Sure,
yeah, I see.
So I don't know exactly what to trust. So that's why sometimes bar show is a little more exhausting for me because it's like, okay, nothing worked. Nothing. Because people are not even paying attention.
Right, so then do you like scrap it all? Like, is that what you mean? Like,
yeah.
It just makes you question.
Yeah, question everything.
Yeah, fair.
You go home even and you're still, like, I don't even think I'm funny.
Uh-huh.
It's crazy.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
and I see this guy with, like, I was doing this show the other day.
Uh-huh.
At the Parlor, which is an awesome place. It's like a theater.
Oh, yeah,
it's like a hotel in Melrose. Okay. It was a good show. It was a very good friend of mine that invited me to do it. And but there was this guy, and he got mad that nobody was like watching him or paying attention. And she just starts to yell at people, and he was very, very funny.
Okay.
He was very, and everybody was laughing because he was like bothered that nobody was watching him. And I was like, I could never do that in English for me.
Oh, yeah.
Because when I want to improvise, everything that comes to me is in Portuguese.
Oh, yeah. I can't imagine that.
So I have to translate.
Like, yeah, what are you going to do on the fly?
Oh, like, on the fly. I have to translate.
Translate,
it's,
man.
It's fucked up.
So when you write in English, are you like translating some jokes that you've already had, or you're like completely new stuff?
I have a few jokes that I translated, but most of the stuff that I do is already written in English.
Cool.
Even those jokes that I know that would work in Portuguese, like I have this huge set now about technology and phones and iPhones and all those things that I see. So I already wrote them in English because I know that that material would work in Portuguese, but it's better for me to write in English already because I know how I speak English.
Okay.
So there's like a thousand ways of saying the same sentence. I use the sentence and the way that I will say. So it's better for me to write already in English than translate.
Got it. Oh, I see.
If I translate, I translate my way and I can make it work. But sometimes I have to do some adjustment and just kill the joke. It's like sometimes it doesn't work.
Sure.
And sometimes I get surprised on how this joke works better in English than it works in Portuguese. Or maybe the joke that I wrote in Portuguese works better in English than what... Oh, wow. It's crazy. You never know. You never know. Yeah. When you translate, you never know. But when you write already in English, it's like it's, you start from scratch. So it's a little better. What was the weirdest thing that happened when you were like performing?
Well, weirdest thing that happened for me, I was doing like my first headlining weekend in Hawaii, which was like so fun. And I love it. I want to go back. But the funny thing is, I think they were like, one of the shows was like later, and it's also like a karaoke bar at the same time. Okay. So there were like people coming and going and everything. And there was a prostitute in the first row and like her client. And I did not understand that because I was pretty, I mean, it was like a couple years ago, but I guess I'm pretty innocent. Sometimes I just like don't even understand like, oh, okay, prostitutes exist. Of course, but I didn't know that they would come to my comedy show and sit in the front row. And she was like pretty drunk. So like they were kind of cuddly. So I was like, oh, are you guys a couple? Like I like legitimately didn't know what was going on. And then she like flashed me. Like during the show, just constantly was like it was just like very distracting.
It would do.
So, but I mean, it ended up being a fun show, and I was up there for like an hour. So it was like, well, we have to address this. But lots of things were going on. So like the karaoke stuff was happening. So people were like going in and out of the karaoke room too. So like the singing was coming from the background. It was a lot.
That's crazy.
But it was a fun weekend. So I can't complain at all. I think it's just like the best story because it's just like, yeah, all these things were going on, and I don't even know how I.
But were you able to make fun of that of them? And
I think so. And I don't know when I discovered, oh, I think that's a problem. I think I didn't even know until after the show. And they're like, oh, yeah, she's here a lot. Like, that's kind of like, this is like your spot. Or like, whatever. This is a common
spot.
That's
crazy.
But yeah, how about you?
But I remember, like, there was some people throwing ice at me.
That happened. Yeah. God.
That was like, I said something. And this guy threw ice and I said, and I cursed at him or something. And then another like 12 people are like throwing the ice
like
in the middle of my set. I remember that. I remember that I was making fun of this woman because she was like saying she's like saying random words during my set, and I thought she was drunk, but I couldn't see her because there was a lot of people, there was no lighting. And at the end, and everybody like, and I lost the audience. What every time that I make fun of her. I lost the audience, but I wasn't seeing her because she was like a little far away from me.
But everybody could hear her?
Yeah, everybody could hear her.
Oh, weird.
But I was like a little mean, and then I found out at the end of the show that she was just like a lady with Down syndrome.
Oh, no. Okay. Well, there's no way you would have known.
I would never know.
Yeah, that's sort of a bit
But
rough.
There was like people didn't like that.
But I don't even know how you would know as one person in the audience that someone way far away
it was. I didn't know, but they got a little, how can I say?
Sure. I mean, that is...
Oh, they didn't like that.
Somebody, yeah, probably. Okay, well, not your fault.
Yeah, not my fault at all.
Not your fault.
At least it was in Portuguese.
Okay, good. So you could improvise
Win
them back. It's all good. Yeah,
win them back. Yeah, that was
all in better. Skill set. Wait, which reminds me, I wanted to ask. So the last time I saw you too, you were like a little scared for your life.
I was.
You were scared for your life?
No problem. Nobody killed
me. Okay, good. Nobody killed you.
No.
But do you want to elaborate on that? Because I know it's a big, I mean, it's on your Wikipedia.
Yes.
I see now.
Yes. Yes.
So I know it's public knowledge, but I know you probably get asked about it a lot.
Yeah, I did this joke. I got some from, I got in trouble with some jokes that I did. Mm-hmm. One of them, it was like the biggest one that put me in trouble. It was like a shitty joke, but... I was live on TV and there was this lady and she was like a singer and she's very hot. And my friend asked me, oh, she's pregnant. Do you think she's still hot? And I said, she's so hot that I would fuck her in her baby.
Right, yeah.
Which was a shitty joke, but it was like in the right timing. Uh-huh. It was right in timing. So it was like everybody laughed.
Oh,
I thought it wasn't a problem.
Right.
So then I found out that she was married to this very powerful figure. The guy who like runs brands and he was powerful. Uh-huh. So they did everything to kind of hurt my career. I didn't get fired from the show, but I was suspended. So I decided to leave the show. It was a huge show in Brazil. It was like a huge success. Oh, okay. Uh-huh. So it became this huge drama. Right. I didn't apologize. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So it got even worse. But I still making jokes about that because this is my life.
Yeah, so. I mean, I saw you on your Netflix special, like you talk about it right away. And yes. Everybody knows, which is
awesome.
Everybody
knows. All like in on it, exactly. You
know? Specifically that. But yeah, I mean, that's.
And I did this joke, and then what happened was that, yeah, I was about to launch my Netflix special, and I have jokes about the subject. But one friend of mine, he went to do a show overseas. I think it was like in Dublin. And his security guard was he was Brazilian. And he told him, oh, do you know Rafinha? And he said, oh, yeah, of course I know Rafinha. Rafinha's a good friend. Yeah, so I used to work for that guy. And I was hired to kill him. And my friend was like, oh, yeah, you're shit. Right. Uh-huh. First, why? And second, why are you telling me that?
Yeah, yeah, that sounds like something maybe you should have. He should sign an NDA or something, right? Yeah. Like, come on, what are you telling?
I don't know.
Warn your friend.
But then I was a little afraid because my new Netflix special had jokes about the subject, right. So I was
it
like,
would
I
reopen the wound.
Yeah, so I got a little worried, not because of me that much, because I'm here in LA, so I don't think he would. He'll
right.
pay someone.
Secret
yeah,
agent
I don't think he's
going
gonna.
On, yeah.
He's gonna put someone to kill me here in Los Angeles.
Right.
But I was afraid because of my kid is in Brazil, my ex-wife. Yeah. I know a lot of people there, so yes. I was like, I have a family there, so I start to get a little worried about them.
Totally. Maybe,
maybe it was a little too much. Maybe I worry more than I should. Maybe I worry more than I should. I don't know. But everything was okay.
No, yeah, I mean, that is the scary thing.
Nobody killed
me. Yeah, nobody killed you. Family's safe.
Yeah,
so that's the important thing. But yeah, I mean, just kind of it's a certain level of notoriety and fame to have a specific hitman out to get you.
Yeah.
But then, so he was hired to kill you, and then just like, I guess it didn't work out, so he just like was not hired anymore.
They kind of convinced the guy that he was a little too much to kill me. That's what he told.
That is a bit
I don't.
Too much.
Yeah, he was like, "No, don't worry, it's just a joke." And the guy was like, after 2 days, he was convinced that, maybe I don't know.
Yeah, overreacted.
Maybe I overreacted.
Yeah, a bit of a fit of rage.
But at the same time, I was sued. I paid money. I spent a lot of money.
Oh yeah, right.
The lawsuit. I lost the lawsuit.
Oh okay.
Yeah.
So you try to fight it. Yeah. I mean, that seems strange, even too. Like, what is this? I guess what would the suit be? Just that, like, you're. Told a mean joke. I don't know.
No, it's not.
Like,
no.
Oh, hurt her feelings? Like, I don't know. I mean,
mean joke. Mean cold joke. 145.
Yeah, I'm like, is that a lawsuit? No, I don't know.
It's, I don't know how to say this in English when you when you say a lie about someone.
Oh, okay. So that would be like the. Oh, there is a thing. I can't remember. But yeah, that's there's a thing like
defamation.
Libel.
Defamation.
Or defamation. Defamation. Okay, yeah. I guess
lost
that exists.
Defamation. Uh-huh. A defamation lawsuit, that's what I lost.
Got it.
Yeah, that's how young comedy is in Brazil. So we are the country's trying to figure out how this works, and because I'm not a character, I'm myself, it's very
you
difficult.
Can't be like, it was in the show, and this is art. I see.
And it's very difficult when you're yourself and you don't have a wig and you don't have a character. It's like, it's difficult for them to know the difference between.
Yeah.
Your opinions and your jokes.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you think about it and you take those jokes out of context, it looks bad.
Totally.
I know it looks. Mm-hmm. All jokes that put me in trouble, if you read them like in a newspaper.
Right, like here's just a guy and he said this.
Yes.
Not a comedian, not a like professional host. Yeah.
If you just write my joke and put out of context in a magazine or in a newspaper, it's always going to sound bad, you know?
Yeah, I see.
It's very difficult to be funny while you're just like writing. That's the acting. There's the way you say those words.
Totally.
So that's why I think we're living in a moment where people don't analyze context anymore. That's the thing.
No, yeah. Not enough time.
Yeah, no.
Short attention span.
And we have information going from all different places and sources. Remember, like 15 years ago, it was TV. It was the newspaper.
Right.
Now, there's
a bajillion channels and
channels
different
and
website
platforms
things
and websites and tweets and apps and podcasts. So there's a lot of different ways to say
totally,
stuff.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's crazy. And I know you were voted, or you were in the New York Times as the most influential person on Twitter in the world.
I don't know what it means, but
big deal.
Yeah.
That's so exciting. What was it like finding out that you kind of
more than talked the light, about this more a than bit. Dalai Lama.
Uh-huh.
More than Obama.
Yeah, doesn't
I was more influential good. Than Obama.
Yeah,
me. Look at this, look at this.
Congrats.
People are like watching me. It's like, I don't know who this guy is. I'm the more influential. Yeah.
Remember Obama? Well, this guy.
Yeah, I was a little more influential than him. I don't know how it was like some kind of a algorithm that counted that. And
legit.
I was, I was
elected. Algorithms don't lie.
Yeah. And I got like 2 pages on the New York Times in a Sunday edition.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Like print?
Yeah.
Because that's, they spent money printing that shit.
Yeah.
That's legit. Okay. But yeah, that's crazy. Because I feel like, and at that point, Twitter is like kind of the main, and it still is. Now where there's like Instagram and stuff. Mm-hmm. And you had a funny bit on your Netflix special that was like about Neymar.
Yeah.
About like, being on social media and like, it is hard like to be an influential person. You have to be on it a lot.
Yes.
So like, what is sort of your takeaway from social media these days? Because I know you're very active on Instagram. It's like super entertaining.
The thing is, I'm trying. Now I just, the thing is, I'm big in my country. Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm starting to try to do stuff in English.
Sure.
But at the same time, I don't want to, I have like on Instagram, I have like 1.5 million people following me. So if I start doing things in English, I lose a little bit of them.
I see.
If I don't do anything in English, I'm not investing in my future. So I did a new profile,
you
in English.
The new one. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
So I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to do that.
Like dual personality.
Yeah.
two separate lives. I mean, what if you, because I see some people I follow who are like, because I watch this show called Terrace House, which is this Japanese reality show, and it's very entertaining.
Okay.
I recommend it. It's on Netflix. Again, I just read subtitles, but it's still so entertaining. And a lot of them on Instagram have a lot of following in Japan, but a lot in America, a lot all over. But they write a caption in Japanese, and then underneath they'll write it in English. I don't know if that's like a thing, but is that too hard?
What language they speak?
It's Japanese.
They speak Japanese and they put subtitles in English.
Like they'll do both, I think. So I'm guessing, I can't read Japanese, so I'm guessing it's just a translation or it's like a shorter version or something if they want to just like
summarize. Do you enjoy watching those things with subtitles?
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't mind because I think I get used to it. The one thing that's tough is that like I can't put it on in the background and like do something else because I have to read it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, I feel like it translates well enough. Like I'm not reading anything and being like, what do they even mean by that English sentence? Like it's all pretty clear.
Got it.
Yeah. And I mean, I watched your special with subtitles because I don't speak Portuguese. But
yeah, but you knew a little bit about the context because you knew after we...
Sure, sure. I guess it's stuff you can understand.
Yeah,
skip over some things, but like for the most part, I think...
Did you know who Neymar was?
No.
No, okay.
But I knew. You said it was your friend. So I don't know who Neymar is.
No, he's not my friend. He's like a soccer player.
Oh, okay.
It's difficult.
Maybe that's where they fucked up in the subtitles.
Yeah.
Or I just didn't know the context.
And it's difficult. Uh-huh. No, it's not only difficult because, I didn't know. It was my bad. Maybe that was my mistake. But Netflix told me, worry about the Brazilian audience. Let's try to think about a project in English in the future for you.
Uh-huh.
So I did my special in Portuguese and I put some subtitles. And there is a lot of those jokes that the punchline is something that people not understand.
Okay, yeah.
Because if you set up that joke and explain a little bit in English, it's okay.
Right.
But when the punchline is something like an artist in Brazil or something that happened with me, that people have to know the context...
Mm-hmm.
I lost a lot. So if I knew that this special would be so big internet, because it's everywhere.
Yeah.
In the whole world.
Everybody, you can just watch it at home. Yeah. Literally.
If I knew that. I knew it, but I didn't know that people would try to watch it.
Mm-hmm.
But people did. So I would do something that people could understand.
Okay. Yeah.
I did a little bit of in the beginning of the special. I don't know if you remember, but I have this joke that I say, okay, my career is going to be over in 10 years. So let me explain to you. What happened?
No, that was good. Yeah.
So that was the way that I found out to explain explain a little bit of those things instead of just saying, oh, this is going international.
God.
It's like, okay, in 10 years, my career is going
to
be over.
Here's so to like somebody who finds it later. Yeah, that was smart.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was great.
So, but I did that like last 2 days. There was like an idea that I had on my mind.
That's crazy.
But I should have done more to explain to people to watch internationally. Okay. But maybe now there's a special to do in English and let's see.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Well, that would be incredible. But yeah, I mean, I think like too, when you're watching another comic, you know, they have a lot of international comics on Netflix that I'll watch and I don't really know them. I know they're like a big deal and like sometimes there might be cultural references that I'm like, okay, obviously I think what it is though, but like I can kind of guess that like I'm missing out on something, but that they're still funny. Like it's not their fault. It's sort of just like, oh, I should probably Google that or something, you know? I think it's always like the onus is on me as a viewer to be like, okay, I don't exactly know who, like if I didn't know, if you hadn't told me a story about Vanessa, the singer, like I would have been like, oh, okay, I should probably Google that. And I think it's probably somebody like a pop star here, you know? Because I do like the talent thing too, so that was funny. So it's like, we have the same, you know, I don't want to describe any singer as the same, but like, you know, it's like the pop stars here where people are like, I don't know if they're actually talented or they're just like really hot or like what's going on. I don't know. So yeah, I mean, I think it generally makes sense.
Yeah, the thing
it might not be as like savvy.
What I think maybe I have been thinking a little bit about this is like I'm trying to write a new special in English. Okay.
Wow.
That's my plan. That's my goal here. That would be the dream.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
That would be awesome to have my special in English on Netflix. But there's so many different specials now on the system. You gotta do something different, you know, Sarah?
Totally.
It's like, did you?
Because you're already funny if you have the special.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like what kind of
what
grabs people in who don't normally watch stand-up, honestly.
Exactly.
Don't know who you are.
That's what I'm thinking. Did you watch the Nanette thing?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't, but I know what it is.
Yeah, that like got skyrocketed off into the universe.
I gotta watch it.
Okay.
Because I wanted to see what's different about that.
Got it. Yeah, I mean,
because it caught attention. And a lot of my comedian friends said, yeah, it's not that funny. So, okay, it's not that funny, but it was a hit. There's a lot of funny stuff that is not doing good.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's almost like, I don't know if the metric is funny anyway. And it obviously depends what you value. And some comedians really just want those jokes in, or they want like a lot of density of jokes, or they want long stories that are really funny. But I think what was unique about that one is that it was like very independently moving outside of like being just a stand-up jokes. And there were jokes throughout. But I guess what somebody described is that show came out of like Edinburgh Fringe Festival, which is like more of a one-person show normally that they do.
There.
So they want to make it a full cohesive thing. Yeah, I mean, that's a good way to like also, I think sometimes some of the shows there aren't necessarily like made for a Netflix special, but they are like independently good one-person shows. I don't even know what I'm talking about, but I think that's kind of what people had described that as, and maybe why it felt different than other specials. Versus just an hour of like really good funny material.
Yes.
It was like a full-on show felt like kind of like beginning, middle, end. I don't know.
Yeah, that's
it's enjoyable watch like regardless.
I will watch it. Yeah. I have to watch it.
Like with Twitter and stuff, like it feels like everybody just writes really great jokes now. And like by the time you wake up on the West Coast, everybody's written the funniest joke about the top news headlines on the East Coast. Mm-hmm. So like why even compete in that way? You know, not that you can't also write funny jokes as well, but it just feels like the value of being a good joke writer like has diminished a little bit only because everybody's really good
and you don't know who owns that joke anymore.
Yeah it's like it's pretty, if you give people the pieces like, oh, here, this news headline happened, Trump said this, and this is like the history of America, like it's probably pretty easy to like put together a similar joke to somebody else without copying them even knowing.
Completely.
Just because we kind of like, you know, we're gonna think similarly, humor works in similar ways.
How do you write? Do you actually write?
Slowly.
Like, me too.
I'm so bad at writing new
I'm
stuff,
so slow. But do you sit down in front of the computer or just go with the flow on stage?
So the funny thing is a lot of stuff I come up with like in the car ride over to a show because I'm like feel that pressure of like, oh, you know what? I've done these jokes so many times. Mm-hmm. That person's going to be there. They're going to see me do the same stuff. I got to come up with something new. So I sometimes have like little ideas I'll write down and like try to write it out at some point, but you normally that happens right before the show. Okay. Write it out or like form it into a cohesive joke in my mind. Okay. But oftentimes that doesn't happen.
Because you write real well. I saw your stuff. Oh, you actually write. You are. That's what, maybe, I don't know if you write, but the way you develop your material, it has the setup, the punchline, the acting. So you're pretty
sometimes,
good.
Sometimes, I don't know. Thank you. That's, maybe means a lot. But yeah, it's a slow. It's slow and it's slow, rare. Right? You know.
Me too.
But I think I've gotten more into like script writing and like thinking of other ways to, I don't know, create funny content. And so I've stepped back sometimes. I think I've stepped back a little bit more from like writing just a stand-up joke, because sometimes I'll have ideas for like, oh, well, like this character in this script that I'm writing. I don't know.
So
that's when I sit down and write, I guess.
Okay, but
scripts.
When you, sometimes you have an idea, okay? Do you know if this, how can you know if this is going to be a stand-up or a character, right? Or maybe this little idea, I don't know if it happens to you, but it happens with me sometimes that you start to write, like, I stand up and I was like, you know, this is a movie.
Sure.
This is a whole movie.
You're like, this
if I actually scratch that thing, yeah, it's like, this is a movie.
Yeah.
It's hard for me to watch stand up because I feel with like 5 minutes watching, it always happened with me in my life and I have to change that. Okay. It's like when I see something that I wanted to do, I stop watching and I just go try to do it.
Oh, sick.
Even like sing.
That's a really good quality. I mean, it makes sense because as somebody who has...
It's exhausting, but I just want to watch and have fun.
Just for singing. So like if you are listening to a song and want to sing? Or no. What does that mean? Or singing in your set?
No, not only singing in my set, but it's like I was watching a musical one day. Mm. Okay? And I was like, maybe my story with the lawsuits and everything, this could be a funny musical.
So you're like, let's write this musical.
Let's write this musical. Oh, that's what happens with me. Like, I wanted to do it somehow.
That's great. What would it be called?
I don't know. But that would be a good musical. I was like, hey, yeah, let me try to write that. And then I send messages to Brazil. I was like, oh, let's try to develop. Oh, yeah, that's a good idea. Let me call this guy. And that's how I
get musicals on the
get musicals. Let's do
Brazil
it.
Broadway on
the Brazilian Broadway.
Nice.
So since I was a little kid, I remember the first time I went to watch a play on a theater. Mm. I was sitting down watching them and thinking, I should be there. Not them. I should be there.
Yeah.
There's a little arrogance behind that, but at the same time, it's something that moves me. It's like, I think I could do that.
That's so funny. I mean, yeah, I think that I have similar thoughts, and it does feel kind of like a little bit delusions of grandeur.
It is.
But it's okay, because that's the only way I got up to do stand-up was because it's a I can do that kind of mentality.
Yeah, I think so. But that that translates with me everywhere.
Yeah.
I'm watching the NBA.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you did.
And I was like... Maybe I'm just 41. I don't think I'll be able to. Or maybe I'm like watching Olympics. I'm delusional, I know. I'm watching like people swimming, and I was like, okay, yeah, this guy is tall like me, mm-hmm, and is so only 100 meters. I could swim fast for 100 meters. Maybe I could get a medal. I don't know.
Yeah, go down to the gym, do some laps.
Do some laps.
That's crazy. I mean, I think that's great.
But
though,
then what moves us is like, I think I can do it. Of course you can't. But you could be good at it. Mm-hmm. I don't feel discouraged. Discouraged, is that a word?
Mm-hmm.
Discouraged?
Yeah.
I don't feel discouraged when I see something that I really, really admire. I just think, oh, that's so... Like I was watching the Dave Chappelle special the other day.
Yeah.
And I was like, the way this guy writes and the way he does it, it's so free. And I get inspired and I wanted to do something. I wanted to just go out and do it. I don't want to be stuck at home thinking about, this is all these thoughts. And
it's an easy place to be. Yeah,
it's like my head is always spinning.
Do you like do anything to get that going? Like, will you write it down or will you like go out and take action?
Because
I know sometimes
down.
It's easy. Yeah, you write it down.
I just shut down the TV and I start to write on my phone.
Wow.
On my phone.
That's great.
Mm-hmm. Just to think about ways for me to think outside of the box on those jokes and how to stretch this thing and that thing. And that's what it moves me somehow.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
But I wish I could just relax and fucking watch the thing.
But I think that's what makes you good at what you do, right? Because most people, I mean, and me included, I'll get stuck in my own head and I'll be like, oh, I've thought of this thought already. And it obviously didn't work out because I never took action. So And then I move on with my life, and then never happens.
It never happens.
And it's really hard. And people do say you got to write it down because that's the only way to get it like out there into the world in a quick way. That doesn't include like, okay, call up Netflix.
That's what brought me here. I was watching some comedians in English and I was watching some special, and then I was like,
I think I'm good
in Portuguese. Uh-huh. It's my time to go there and try to show them that I can do it somehow. I don't know. Maybe it's not never going to happen. Maybe it's never going to happen.
I mean, but it's now happening.
It is happening. When I am like doing a show with some people that I admire and I can see that I fit them. It's not that I'm better or worse. I don't think this way. It's just, okay, I'm working. It's working for me.
Yeah.
When I see that I'm doing shows with some people that I admire, even that I didn't know before, I just watch them and, oh, that's awesome. But then I go on stage and it works for me as well. I'm like, man, it's happening. It's happening. This wheel of trying to go there and do it brought me here, and I am doing it. So that's the positive thing that you wanted me to talk about.
Yeah, no, I know. We're already there. You brought us here. Yeah. No, I mean, that's so encouraging because I think that's often people who I admire and like who are really like making it happen. It is really just that difference of like, oh yeah, and then I just did it. Mm-hmm. And then like all the other stuff will follow, rather, even if it's failure, successes, whatever. But it's like, don't, I guess, quit before it's even a thing.
Sometimes we do it just because we know that's a lot of work.
Sure. Like if you look too far into the future, it can be bad. Like a lot of people just say, don't even think about the future because like, it's not worth it.
What I found out is I used to have a lot of different thoughts and things that I wanted to do. Okay. And I did this for a while. And I was writing a series and doing a talk show and going on stage. And now I think I'm having fun focusing on one thing.
Cool.
It's like, let's do the stand-up thing.
Yeah, just really like pouring everything into that instead.
Let's do stand-up. Let's write things. Let's try those jokes. Maybe it's not going to be the best thing in the world, but let's go through this process. And I think this is something that here in Los Angeles, and it's important. It's like, it's not that when you're a starter, and I feel like I am starting all over again, you have to focus on one thing because otherwise you're going to be a little lost. I'm pretty sure that if you have like 5 auditions in a week, you're not going to write new stuff.
No.
You're going to be memorizing those lines.
You're focusing on other things. Being able to focus on one thing, I think, does help a lot. Even though in LA, I think people wear a lot of hats.
Yes.
And it's hard too because like, if I'm not performing every night, like it can feel like, oh, well, maybe I should pick up something else.
And not only that, you got to pay your bills as well.
Right. Yeah. So it's like working the day job, doing whatever I do, like freelance coding stuff. Mm-hmm. So like definitely a lot of different like.
You do freelance coding?
Yeah. Yeah. That's how I make money.
God. But do you study that a lot?
I studied it in school. And so then like I kind of knew how to do all that stuff. And it's a good thing to kind of have on the side and not have to worry about going into an office. And I can be available for shows and things like traveling and stuff.
And who hires you?
I have like a couple bosses. I have like one person who runs a couple of sites. So I just kind of maintain and like improve those sites. And then another like nonprofit I work for. Yeah, just helping them out with website stuff as well. So.
Oh, you do websites?
Yeah, I do websites, yeah. If you need any updates on your website, yeah.
Nice. That's
but,
good.
It's a good, like, you know, I can be here. I can, if I have a deadline for writing or, like, I have an important show, like, I don't have to worry about the freelance stuff
your
as I would for a normal day job. But
amazing.
I mean, there's also a lot of, like, you know, I feel it's a weird situation. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, so here's another, like, podcasty ask question. It is a podcasty question. So have you had, I guess since moving here, because that would be interesting, have you had like a low point?
Last week was a little hard. Missed my kid a lot.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that's the hardest part for me.
How often do you go back to
once every 2 months? I go there and see him, but it's becoming like the end of the year, the ticket is very, very expensive.
Everybody's going home for holidays.
Oh,
yeah,
gosh. So I miss my kid a lot, and I'm feeling now that he's getting used to not having me around.
Mm.
That's what
How
I was.
How old is he?
He's 8 years old.
Okay.
But he getting used to, which is great because he's not like suffering or like, he's not in pain.
Right.
And I am not in pain as well. I'm feeling more comfortable away from him.
Mm-hmm.
But then I realized, last week I realized, you know, maybe I'm getting used to being away from him. That was like, I felt a little guilt maybe for not having him around and not, I don't know. I will bring him, like he's going to spend all January with me.
Oh, great.
And we'll spend some time together. So yeah, it's going to be fun. But that was a little, and I don't know too many people here sometimes. I don't know people. I don't have that many friends and that I hang out and...
Sure, I mean, LA is hard. I grew up here and I even sometimes I'm like, man, how do you make friends?
Yes.
It's a really tough place too, because it's not like we're living all in the same spot like New York City, I imagine. It's like you can bump into people randomly. But here it's like you really got to go out of your way.
Yeah, you got to get a car. You got to go... And,
you have to start a podcast.
And you have to start a podcast.
People to hang out with you. Yeah.
But the thing is, that's what I think it's like. It's not easy to make friends in America as a whole.
Oh, really? Is it just, what was the difference, I guess?
In Brazil, I just call my friend and say, I'm going there. Mm-hmm. Oh, let's do this. Here you tell the person, hey, let's go do, I don't know, maybe let's have dinner. Okay, what about October 8th? I was like, what?
Of 2019.
Yeah, yeah. I think let's do, I don't know, next Wednesday. No, what about tonight? Do you have something to do tonight?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean...
Can I go there now? Come here. Let's hang. I don't feel this energy here. It's like in Brazil, just fucking go. And sure, what are you doing tonight? I'm going out with some friends. Can I go with you guys? Yeah, of course can. Come over.
Right, right.
Let's hang here and then we go... We are more like, we are like a warmer.
Yeah.
Sometimes there's like boundaries that we don't respect as well.
Okay.
But which is the bad side, because sometimes you're just like, oh, I don't want to fucking do it. I don't want to invite this guy. Here is just like, people do this like, oh, what about like in 14 days we go to have a lunch? It's like, why 14 days? So there's all...
that Google Calendar app out.
Yeah.
Check your sketch. Yeah, I know. That's true. I wonder, like, because I always also blamed it partially on Los Angeles being pretty spread out. So if, you know, people needed to traverse the freeways.
That's
or
not the problem.
Okay. It's just a general.
Is the way people act. That was the way people
I wish
operate.
It was more like Brazil, because I kind of feel that way. Sometimes I'm like, oh, I have a free meal. Like, I want to go get brunch with somebody, but I feel weird about asking anyone because I'm like,
do you?
Well, no, I feel like I'm going to get the response of like, oh, right now?
Yeah.
You know, I guess maybe like in 2 months.
Yeah. So it's not just me. Okay. Hard.
Oh yeah. I mean, I'm scared to, cause I think maybe when I was in college too, it's like everybody's living in the same spot. Mm-hmm. So it was very easy to just be like, grab a meal real quick because we like live two floors away from each other. And everybody talks about, you know, those school days being very communal, whatever. Mm-hmm. And then now it's a little different because we live in different cities or whatever, different towns, neighborhoods. So you do have to plan a little bit more. But I wish it was like the other way around. And I think if somebody like texted me and I was free, I would totally drop everything. Because I would be like, I need a little like human contact right now. I get a little lonely,
Sometimes it's been like 2 days without speaking with people.
Yeah, what
and
the
I
hell?
Have to talk to the mirror, otherwise I don't know if I can speak
crazy.
Anymore.
Yeah, I find that like if I don't have interaction and then I like go and have like a meeting or like go in to talk to people where I have to be like a human being, I'm like, oh my god, I forgot how to speak to humans. It's so hard.
It's like writing a check. Oh, you're like, I don't know if I can write
a
anymore.
Format. What do I do? Yeah, it's really hard.
That
practice
was,
is
that's what
key.
I miss. But there's a Brazilian community here, so we all feel the same. And I'm dating a Brazilian girl, so I feel that I'm like back in the game again.
Cool.
I just have to be a little careful to not just go to the and spend too much time hanging and not doing
working
what I came here to do.
Okay. Yeah. It's a balance, I suppose.
It's a balance because now I feel that I have more people. I know more people, but I still have to. Right. And the other day I had a gig and I was like, I don't know if I want to do it. But then I thought, you know, if I'm not doing gigs, why am I here?
Okay.
So,
yeah. You have like the weight of I picked up and moved here.
Yeah.
Man. Yeah. That's
so
a lot of pressure.
I gotta go. I gotta.
I have those nights all the time where I'm like, it's across town. And do I have to start the
I know that it's not going to be that gig. Right. It's like, but that's okay.
Yeah. Great.
But there's some faraway places that is awesome to perform as well.
Sure. Like, wait, where are you based in town? I don't know.
I live in the West Hollywood.
Okay, so if you have something on, like, the Far East Side or, like, in Glendale, I don't know if you've ever...
Yeah, I do. I do a lot of other spots at the Flappers in Burbank.
Sure, yeah, that's like...
Hermosa Beach on the Magic Club. Oh, it's right. Far away.
But a great place.
Yeah, it is a great
place. But yeah, I mean, similarly, it's like, yeah, if I have to go out to the beach, I'm like, ooh, all right, rush hour, I don't know. But yeah, I mean, it's fine.
For you to go to Santa Monica has to be a little different.
Yeah, but like luckily sometimes they're at night, like very late. So then it's really only like 26 minutes, I feel like, if there's no traffic, which is crazy. I used to commute out there and it's an hour and a half.
This is what people here in LA say all the time. Mm-hmm. Oh, without traffic, 20 minutes.
Right.
Without
it's a real
where is Sweden? 20 minutes, no traffic. It's like everybody always like everything.
Yeah, that's funny. It's so true.
But there's no.
I literally think everything's 20 minutes away if there's no traffic. There's and no traffic. And then traffic could be like 3 hours. Who knows?
Yeah.
Walk. You walk, it's quicker.
And I do sometimes. I work in Irvine on the improv that they have.
Yeah, I love the Irvine improv. It's but so that's cool. So it's so far away. One time I had a show there and they did not tell me it was canceled. Oh. But I checked the website and I was like, there's like Grant Cotter's headline. Like I'm not on this show. And then I emailed and they're like, oh yeah, by the way, say sorry, we like had to cancel the show. Not enough tickets sold. So like, I'm like, were you gonna tell me? It was just a show with like a couple other comedians.
Were you going there?
I luckily did not. Oh, I was still here and like, but I was like, wow, I would have to drive out there and like, what would I do? I'd just go to the like little bakery and like eat a little sad bread.
But that was you know, that's what I think that when I was telling you that it's a little humbling to start from scratch again.
Yeah.
It's like the other day I was doing a show on the Haha.
Sure.
In North Hollywood. And I do there sometimes spots there. I think it's good. It's close to here. It's not that far away. Uh-huh. And and I saw on the Instagram the flyer of the show, and I wasn't there.
They didn't put you on the flyer.
They didn't put me on the flyer, and I thought they forgot about me. So am I on the show? Uh-huh. Am I not on the show? Uh-huh. And then I sent a message to the guy, and he was like, "Oh, I forgot. I'm really sorry." Which happened like 3 or 4 times already, that people have forgot about me.
Yeah, people are not
They forget.
Great.
They forget.
Yeah,
which is
lots of going on. But yeah,
I understand.
It's such a weird...
I understand. But at the same time, it's like, wow, I left my country. I came here. I'm away from my kid. I'm spending money with rent. I'm living in this place. I don't have that many friends. And people forgot about me? It's like, what am I doing with my life?
No.
That's the first reaction.
Right.
What am I doing with my life? And I was like, I was happy because I had a spot on the Haha. It's like,
sure, and you're like,
I was doing like 2,000 people
stadiums,
in Brazil.
Yeah.
I was like 2,000 people show. But I think it's always fun to do Haha in all those places. But then you start to question yourself. But at the same time, it gives you, it's crazy because... That's the positive thinking, is that after I get a little frustrated, it gives me power. I think like, you know what? They're going to regret. I'm going to make them
it's
regret.
It's going to be, it's just a good thing to
course,
like give you fire.
Yeah, but they just like, they give me a spot next day. It was like a mistake. But that happened, I feel like it gives me strength to go look for it. It's like...
That's
okay,
awesome.
When I have my special,
when
I'll be like huge.
Remember when you forgot?
Remember when you forgot my name? But of course, now that I understand that they have a lot of things going on, it's not that I get mad at them, but my first reaction is this one.
I mean, that's a normal reaction. Yeah. Even for people who aren't at your level, I feel like people even still feel slighted, you know?
Don't you think?
I mean, like, it's so funny hearing you talk about starting over from like literally being on top of Brazil comedy game and then like even being willing to start over. Cause I see people also like out here, I'm so impressed with the fact that like Judd Apatow even decides to do stand up where it's like, oh dude, you have like an empire of movies that are successful. Your name is synonymous with like hilarious comedy and like changing the rom-com game or like whatever you want to call it. But to go out there and just do 20 minute spot at a great club, but still just like a 20 minute spot. And be willing to face the humiliation that comes with just doing stand-up. Because things can happen like that. Or, you know, you go and the doorman doesn't recognize who you are. Like, that could totally happen to people, even if they are legitimately a big deal. Just because sometimes door people are busy or just they kind of are posturing or whatever.
Yeah.
And to, like, even open yourself up to that possibility is just, is really remarkable. And like, that's the only way that I think people make it to that next level too, is like being willing to like experiment, go through that again. But like, yeah. I, from my little low standpoint of like, I like don't even do that much. Like that, I can not imagine being anywhere higher and like coming back to where I'm at, you know, even.
Yeah. But at the same time, it's America, thing. You know, that's, mm-hmm. it's simple. It's like, I'm huge in Brazil and now I'm sharing stage, and the other day I was doing a show and who pop up? Judd Apatow and Aziz, yeah. Ansari.
Very cool.
So it's cool, mm-hmm. to be around that thing, you know?
Sure. And the fact that like, yeah, I think it is inherent in stand-up where people will just do return to stages that maybe they wouldn't normally do, you mm-hmm. know, just to try stuff out and stuff. Yeah. So like, it's cool that that's kind of built in.
And I saw, it's weird that you're talking about Judd Apatow. I saw him on improv. I was doing a show with him, actually. I think he was on the schedule to do the show, mm-hmm. and he was. I felt the same. It's like, oh, this guy, he's huge. He's yeah. doing those huge movies. Right. It was like,
no need.
70 people watching the show.
Sure. Yeah, yeah.
And he actually did great. I think he's, you know, it's crazy because he did his special, and yeah, I think he's doing yeah. so much better now.
Okay, yeah. I mean, it's like that kind of came out a while back, so I feel like it just. It's crazy thing. Doing it more, you yeah. know?
And I saw him, and he was great. And I was like, "Oh, that's so crazy to see this guy that has this empire, and he's coming back and doing stand up. Right. It's so good to see."
Yeah,
but stand up, there's a magic behind stand up, mm-hmm. of you writing your thing in a piece of paper and putting smiles in people's faces. It's awesome. It's awesome. It's something very. It's a type of art that makes you really close to the people. That makes them yeah. identify in what you're saying. So there's a magic behind that. That you know, and you know the thing, I have been doing, how many years are you doing stand-up?
I guess since I first started, like almost eight?
8 years, but, okay.
Yeah.
I have been doing for 16 years.
Awesome.
And when you write a new joke and that joke works, it's the same feeling as we were in the first day.
Mm. You never know, gets old.
It never gets old.
That's great.
Never gets old. Totally. That's what I feel. I'm doing just for 16, but there's people doing like for 30 years, and I sure. think they feel the same. It's like, okay, all right, I wrote that. I created that expectation. I went to stage, and it is actually funny. This is something that's the biggest reward that we're going to get, and I don't think we lose that. I don't think we never lose that. I think it's even, you know, it's even more satisfying for me to make a new joke work than it is to shoot a special.
Yeah, because it's kind of contained too. Like you really get that moment of like, yes, I feel like that's really rare in work. Because yeah. sometimes you're, you know, you see only a portion of a project and then mm-hmm. you don't know what it's going to be and you know, whatever. But like that, we get to see it from start to finish.
Yeah.
Which is so cool.
And you get little rewards every night.
Yeah, yeah.
It's different than writing a movie. Okay, this movie sucks. And you're like, I thought it was good. No, it is not.
Right.
It's like, there's no.
And you're like, well, there goes like 8 months or, yeah. I mean, or years.
The rewards yeah. or the or the deception comes like 100% once when the movie's launched. But with stand-up, you can test and you can go on stage yeah. and you're mad one day and you're happy the other day. So I still have a lot of fun doing it.
That's awesome. That's great to hear knowing that I'm like, okay, well. I guess I'll keep going then.
Yeah, you
yeah,
do
yeah.
it. You do it.
Awesome. Oh yeah. So then the other question would be: have you had a high point since moving out here?
The high point, I think, was I'm doing one show for I'm headlining the Laugh Factory once okay. every month,
great.
And I'm bringing like some Brazilian audience to watch the show, uh-huh. And that was a good place for me to see, because I have been doing shows for the American people, not for the Brazilian audience. So when I did in English for my people, I felt, okay, people actually paid to watch me. So I felt
things
were happening.
Name is attached to the show.
Yes.
Like that,
Rafinha and Friends.
Yeah, yeah, that's huge.
So that's what I thought, okay, maybe
cool.
there's something happening here.
Totally.
Yeah, but at the same time, I'm a little afraid that mm-hmm. people are going to think, oh, this fucking guy. Just speak Portuguese. It gets like, because I write.
Interesting.
Yeah, because, you know, there was
this
one.
This fucking guy.
Yeah. Why?
Who's he thinking is speaking English?
Who's he thinking speaking English? Yeah.
Really?
Because that's why people, I know that like in Boston, people pay to watch like their own culture. Mm-hmm. Oh, finally have, like the Brazilian people are going there to watch a guy speaking Portuguese.
Yeah.
So if you're
like,
at home,
what?
Oh. If you're at home and these guys come here to speak English.
They got to come around.
I don't know. I don't know what this is going, how this is going to be. I'm curious to see how this is going to work, but I don't know how this is going to be. I really don't know.
Sure, yeah.
But it's exciting,
but
you know?
Makes it, yeah, it's like a fresh thing that nobody's done. And I think
that's where
the possibilities are. Because if it's been done, you know, it's kind of like, oh, where's the fun in that?
Yeah, no, and if I want to do shows in Portuguese, I would do in fucking Rio de Janeiro.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't come here to the show in Portuguese.
Yeah.
So why
like
am I doing?
It sounds like, cool.
I would get more money there. There's more people speaking Portuguese, so there's nothing new.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I'm focusing on doing things in English. That's what I have to do it. Otherwise, I'm not gonna build any fan base or anything like that. So that's why.
Cool, amazing. And then next is the Netflix special. So
that's, yeah, but I have to do something special. I have to build something special.
Mm-hmm.
To do only jokes, I don't think it's enough anymore, you know? That's what I'm thinking.
Interesting. Yeah, maybe you could do like...
I'm thinking about this one-man show. Cool. I don't know.
I
saw there was like one special on Netflix. This guy talking about the history of Latin America.
John
Leguizamo. Yeah, Leguizano or something like that. So I thought it was different. It's not that I think it's amazing. It's just that it's different.
Yeah.
It caught some attention.
He's kind of like a actor. Like, I know him. He voices one of the Ice Age guys.
Oh,
I think.
Okay.
So I kind of always knew him as an actor.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's kind of cool that he did.
Did you watch the show?
Even though he probably came from a...
Did you watch the show?
I didn't watch it.
Okay, but you saw the system.
It showed up on the thing, and then I saw people tweet about it and
stuff. You saw people tweeting about it?
Yeah, I think so.
See?
On Facebook. Yeah.
See?
Yeah.
Did you see someone tweeting about Theo Von? No. He's awesome.
Sure,
great joke.
Yeah, I guess it's kind of
great
like, that's like, okay, it's another special.
Great joke writer. Awesome.
Hilarious guy.
His special is awesome. But you know, his special is just jokes.
Sure.
Good jokes. Awesome jokes. This is what we do. And we are still keep doing it. But what does your special bring that is so different and special? And that's what I'm thinking. That's
totally
the step that I want to take.
Yeah. Yeah, because I also think about like Ali Wong special. Which the first one was kind of before there were so many to choose from. But specifically, like, she's pregnant in her special.
Pregnant.
What the hell, right? She's been around forever, but that really like skyrocketed her to a new level, and like that was huge.
That's huge. I didn't come here to be the biggest thing ever. No, it's a little. You know, I have been doing it for 16 years, and I'm not gonna reach the same level of those other guys. It's going to take a long time for me to go there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was watching an interview with, like, Louis C.K. before he masturbated in front of everybody. But he was explaining that it took like 20 years for him to actually do something.
Oh, yeah, people would always quote that. Yeah, like that he was terrible for 20 years.
Yeah, he felt that he was terrible. He wasn't.
And he started
I watched.
Off
and then he started jacking off
in front
of people. Oh,
maybe you should stop that. But yeah,
maybe
that's
this is
like,
I'm gonna do
a
my special. I'm gonna start jacking off in front of people.
I mean, I guess it worked for him,
yeah.
But not anymore. Clearly,
but he had good jokes. But he was a joke writer, so then he kind of. It was something that changed everything, the way he was writing. It took some time for him.
Right, and if you're like, oh, what, you know, in what profession are you like, oh, 20 years before you get good at it?
Yes.
It's like Jesus, but it's because we're willing to do it and we like the process. But do you have any tricks to, like, keep you going? Or do you I know you said you like to gather inspiration from watching stand-up.
Yes,
but
I do.
I don't know if there's anything that you do to, like, keep positive, stay on track.
Cocaine? No, I'm just
right. LA.
No, what I think it's for me, just to come here, it's inspiring because I am a foreign, I'm an immigrant. So to succeed here, when I see the there's always possibilities and there's always chances in the world, even if you're not here in America, you're everywhere. There's this, you can get inspired by other people's success. Mm-hmm. You can see them, oh, this is something that they did, the road that he was following, this is the path that he discovered. And this is always inspiring for me to see how people reach not the stardom, but actually to where the places that they want to go.
Cool.
To see other people, to admire other people's success, it's something that makes you inspired.
Cool. Yeah, I feel like I like reading biographies for that.
Biographies,
reason. Yeah,
is awesome.
Yeah. It's like so cool to see, like, oh yeah, they're human.
Did you watch Bohemian Rhapsody?
Oh, I haven't seen it yet.
I gotta go watch it.
Yeah, that's crazy. I forgot it was out because I feel like it's been hyped for so long, and then I forgot. Yeah,
awesome.
It's great.
Okay, I watched this weekend. It was so good. You gotta do it.
That's awesome. Yeah. So,
and
like,
that was inspiring to see that guy touching people's hearts and the way he lived his life. So biographies is something that inspires me a lot too.
I read, I was reading Tiffany Haddish's biography and that was like really funny. But it was also like, what the hell? Yeah. Like, man, if she can get through all that, like nobody has an excuse.
That's crazy. Isn't it?
But yeah, it's pretty wild, everybody's stories. That's crazy. Do you have a particular, I guess Freddie Mercury, but anyone in particular who inspires you, or their story that you
their story,
especially like, I guess moving, making like a big intercontinental move.
No, I don't see nobody like here that I think, but it's not, I didn't think actually the going out with the country and trying to reach. On comedy, it's a little different, you know. What I'm doing, I think there's a difference between what I'm doing right now and other people's.
Totally.
Because
I don't know. I don't like. I know many people who.
Yeah, because there is some people that started in other countries and came here to be successful. But the thing is, they always come here from places that people already speak English.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So, like, Russell Peters, he's from, I think he's a Canadian.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
he talks for Indians and people from the Middle East and everything. But those people speak English. Mm-hmm. They all live here in America. They all live here. There's a huge, so he talks about Chinese people. He does jokes about those different ethnicities.
Yeah.
But those people are Americans. They live here, so they have their families. They can identify with him and the things that he's saying. I'm Brazilian. Mm-hmm. We don't have that huge immigrant population here. So, and it's not that I was doing things in English in my country. I never spoke English on stage. The first time that I did that was in March.
Okay.
I just started. That was crazy.
What the hell?
And I was, you know, it took me some time to try it out.
Totally.
Because when I came here in 2011, when I got that news story piece, New York Times, it was 2011. I was stand-up was not living a good moment here in America. I used to go like to the comedy store to watch comedy at like 11 o'clock at night. It was like 25 people watching it.
Oh yeah, it's gotten like way more since Netflix, I guess. But
Netflix and podcasts.
And podcasts,
and
right.
Joe Rogan.
The beast. Yeah, himself, that's fair.
That helped a lot.
I didn't think about that. Yeah, I remember when they just kind of were starting all that stuff.
Remember?
And that was like
that was crazy. And then, so I was a little afraid at that time. And it was
Was this the right spot to come? And I mean, really, at that time, I think a lot of people were thinking it was waning. Like, YouTube was a thing, and then the YouTube comedians were becoming way more popular than any stand-up. So it was kind of like, oh, well, if I could just do it from my bedroom, why would I come drive all the way out and find parking in West Hollywood to, like, go up and be forgotten at the comedy store, right? Like, it just seemed like not a practical method.
Yeah. But now it's crazy because all those tools, YouTube and podcasts, they are tools for us as performers.
Yeah.
But the connection and even the money always comes from the people.
Live, yeah.
If you do like a show for 2,000 people, 3,000 people, it's the money, it's the connection, it's the jokes, it's everything. Mm-hmm. So stand-up's never going to die. It's never going
to
die.
Yeah, it's like everybody says millennials spend money on experiences now. Well, like going to a live stand-up show is huge. Going to the comedy club, like seeing that history and stuff. Totally. That's
to see like 8 different performances, it's like right. 8 different acts
Drop-ins.
That you watch. Yeah, and sometimes maybe Chris Rock can just show up. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's so fun. I mean, like, it's funny because then some of my friends who, you know, don't do stand-up, but like will maybe be in the audience of a stand-up show once a year. So, you know, yeah. they never really go and see it, but they're like, oh my God, then so-and-so dropped in and like, you know, Amir Kay or something, like Amir Kay was really funny, or like somebody they'll say, and I'm like, oh yeah, because like they're like working all the time, but yeah. like for people who just see them the one time and they like maybe hadn't seen them live
yes.
before, it's just absolutely floored,
floored yeah.
which is great because that is like the experience of live comedy. I think I love to watch specials and stuff, but I think it's just completely different. Like I don't judge a comedian until I see them live.
Where oh yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah,
but I had some experience of watching some comedians that I admire live,
mm-hmm.
they didn't do well, but
yeah,
I still was like, fuck, that's awesome.
Sure, yeah, yeah. It's just like
I remember I was like doing a show. I was watching a show in 2011. I was watching a show. It was at the Laugh Factory. It was like midnight or something. And
yeah.
Dave Chappelle just
oh shit
showed up, and he did like 50 minutes
uh-huh.
off just sitting down.
Lower.
Drinking
yeah.
Beer and talk to the audience. It wasn't the best thing ever. It wasn't at all. But it was. I was so drawn to watching that, and I got crazy. I was like, this guy is so comfortable mm-hmm. doing nothing. You know,
that in and of itself is like
oh,
fascinating, right?
To just sit down so and don't worry about having jokes. Me, if I'm like 15
right.
seconds on stage,
like, I'd run away.
If I'm 15 seconds or like 20 seconds and I didn't do a joke, even if the joke didn't work or not, I just get like, okay, let's do it. Let's do it. Gotta go. Go to the next one. Get the next one. And the
right.
guy was just sitting there 50 minutes. Like he was like 30 people watching and he was having fun. And those 50 minutes,
uh-huh.
he, you can see that he improvised like two. Awesome. He was completely. So then I thought, if this guy goes out every night and spends 50 minutes and get 2 minutes every night.
That's pretty good.
If you think about it, in like 1 month, he has a new special.
Yeah, there you go. 2 minutes a night. You get 30 nights, 60 minutes right there.
60 that's minutes right there. You
yeah.
got it.
Even though it took a lot of hours.
See, it took a lot of
but
hours.
Hey, that's what goes on behind the scenes.
Yeah,
right?
Because sometimes you just go on stage. Oh, I did so well. Okay, but did you actually do something new? No,
right.
no. You did something that was
tried
already working.
Oh, yeah. And it's like, even when that happens, I feel like I'm just like, well, yeah, what's the point? Because it's kind of like,
what's the point?
You know, it's not like that was taped or something. If it's a show I did, I'll be like, well, I mean, it doesn't really help me unless
yeah,
it's actually
exactly.
making up something new or
yeah.
getting something funny out of it. But
yeah, but
it doesn't always happen.
But at the same time, you want to go to that club and show people that you're good.
Sure. If
show
it's like
people,
an important
yeah.
show, it's a different
oh,
story.
Uh-huh. I'm doing this club and I really want to be this to be well. I don't want to be the worst of the night.
Yeah,
you just want to. So that's the balance that I'm trying to find. When
totally.
I
in LA
do,
is hard because it's like you never know who's watching
yes.
or whatever. Like people get really
mm-hmm.
scared about
yes.
that.
Yes. Did we cover everything?
We covered everything. If there's anything
was
else
this good?
You wanna, yeah, this was
great.
This
boring?
No.
Do you think people are gonna listen? Gonna be like?
I mean, well, I hope not.
Okay.
But
okay.
I can't control them. No, they'll
me
love
neither.
You. That'd be great.
Me
It'll
neither.
Be great. And you know, if you have anything else to share.
No, just wanna if people
plug.
Yeah, just go to my Instagram, send me a direct message on
Sweet.
Rafi Comedy. Rafi Comedy.
Is that your English?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
All right. So build up the new one.
That's
guys.
What I'm thinking.
Get on that English grind.
Don't have any there's not that much material there, but I'm starting to write stuff over there.
Oh,
that's
shit.
What I'm
Oh far,
that's
like
what I'm
thinking. Really like
maybe sketches
into, like,
yeah
videos and content
yes
oh,
that's
yeah.
what I'm thinking.
I mean, if you need any help with captioning and stuff
captioning that would be awesome but you don't know Portuguese you don't know Portuguese
oh no but I mean in English
in English so
like because you know people only watch videos on mute and so you just want to put captions on everything
I know but I can do it I know how to
oh,
work
okay,
with
well,
it Adobe Premiere
then
and
I can't
all.
Help
yeah.
you I'm sorry
I have
anyway,
to I have,
website
you know?
Stuff
website oh website I need a website
right okay
yeah.
okay But yeah, awesome.
But
well,
thanks for having
yeah,
me.
Thank
that
you,
was
Rafina.
Awesome. Thanks
this
for
this is awesome.
Thanks for having me.
And oh yeah, Rafi Comedy.
Just follow me there.
Okay.
Send me a direct message.
Nice. Bye.